Right, so this week we're going to be actually starting a new series where we're going to be looking at the next chapter after the Sermon on the Mount. Some of you from our church might remember last year we did a long series about the Sermon on the Mount, and we looked at Jesus' teaching and kind of Jesus' manifesto all about how he wants us to live and how the kingdom of God should be expressed among us. And we thought it would be good to kind of look at what happens next. So after Jesus comes down the mountain, and what he does, because he starts doing lots of miracles after that in Matthew's gospel, after he comes down the mountain. So he went about doing stuff as well as teaching. So teaching was one part of what he did, but he also did miracles. He healed people. He set people free from demons. And he did various miracles which demonstrated what it means to follow him. So we're going to start that today. And we're going to start by looking at the beginning of Matthew chapter 8, which is a story about Jesus healing a man with leprosy. And Gron, even though he's not probably watching today, is going to read it for us. Here we go.
Today's reading is from the book of Matthew, and it's chapter 8, verses 1 through to 4. The man with leprosy. When he came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commands as the testimony to them." Amen.
So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this story. And we pray that you would speak to us through it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this coronavirus pandemic, I think, has made us realise how many things we take for granted. And one of the most significant of those things, I would argue, is the power of human touch. The power of a hug or a handshake or even just a pat on the shoulder. And many people in Wales who live alone have not been touched or have not touched another human being now for over 3 months. And this really came home to me. One of my friends, I might have mentioned this before, one of my friends who lives in South Wales, she lives alone, and she described to me how one day a dog came past her, and she sort of knelt down to pat this dog, and she realised this was the first living, breathing creature that she'd had physical contact with for weeks. And she was just overcome with emotion. And even those of us who live with other people, we also find ourselves not able to hug people that we meet up with. Perhaps we meet up with a friend or a relative, and we have to stay apart from them. We can't touch them. We have to keep our distance. And it just feels wrong. It feels wrong. So just take a little bit of that feeling and imagine it multiplied. Multiply it by forever. Imagine that that was going to go on forever. And I think that just gives us a tiny, tiny little bit of understanding of what this man who came to Jesus felt like. Because he was someone who was not to be touched. He was someone who was considered unclean. He was considered infectious, contagious. And he had to live in a kind of permanent lockdown. Because those in Jesus' day who were suffering from leprosy or various kinds of skin diseases were outcasts from society. They were kind of forced into a never-ending social distancing. They were made to live outside the main villages in isolation. And I think now that we've had a tiny little taste of what that might feel like, and what it feels like for people to move away from us as we approach down the street, well, that was this man's life. And he had no hope of this kind of lockdown ever being lifted for him. And you know, Jesus didn't have to touch him. Jesus didn't have to touch him. We know this because in the very next story that we're going to look at next week in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus demonstrates that he's perfectly capable of healing people without touching them. In fact, he can do it without even being in the same room as them. And so the fact that Jesus touches him, he reaches out and does this very significant, very deliberate thing. In verse 3, he reaches out his hand and touches the man. And this would have been shocking. This would have been really shocking to all the people. You can imagine this gasp going up from Jesus' disciples. What is he doing? Why is he touching this man? And that's because a fear of lepers in Jesus' day was more than just a simple fear of catching leprosy. The fear of lepers was also a fear of becoming impure. Because skin diseases at that time were associated with decay. They were associated with death. And if you touched anything diseased and decaying, then you would become ritually impure. And that means that you would have to do all kinds of washing and rituals before you were allowed to go to the temple and worship God. And people with leprosy were considered to be permanently unclean, permanently unable to come to the temple, permanently unable to worship, permanently unable to draw near to God's presence. So when Jesus reaches out and touches him, he's touching death, he's touching dead skin, he's touching decay. And in the thought processes, in the worldview of that time, if Jesus did that, it should infect him. It should defile him. It should make Jesus impure to touch this man. But it doesn't. Instead, the reverse happens. Instead of that death and impurity being passed to Jesus, instead the very force of God's holiness and purity and life flows out from Jesus and into this leper. Be clean, says Jesus, and immediately he is cleansed of his leprosy. The touch of Jesus restores this man, and it restores him in a whole way, a holistic way. It doesn't just restore him to health, but it also restores him to his position in society. Jesus tells him, go to the priest, get the rituals done so that you can go back in society. It will demonstrate that you're fully healed and you can be part of society again. Maybe you've got the idea that you need to get yourself pure before you can come to God. Maybe you've got the idea that before you can come to God, you need to reach a certain standard. That you're not good enough to be a God botherer. That you're not good enough to be a church kind of person. You might think that you have to have a nice polished halo. That you might have to give up stuff. That you might have to spend at least 24 hours without swearing before you're allowed to be in the presence of God. Well, if that's you, if that's what you think, then this story's got some really good news for you. And the good news is this. It's actually the other way round. We don't get ourselves good first so that we can come to Jesus. We come to Jesus first as we are. And he loves us already. He loves the messed up, rough around the edges, not quite fitting in, not very holy us. And we come to him because actually he's the only one who can make us clean. If you're willing, you can make me clean, says the leper. I am willing, says Jesus. I am willing, says Jesus, as he dies on the cross for us. We can't do it ourselves. Jesus is the one who makes us clean. And when Jesus reaches out his hands to touch us, when he reaches out his hand to touch our hearts, we don't infect him with our badness. He infects us with his life and goodness and holiness. And if you read the stories of Jesus' life that we call the Gospels, and that word just means good news is what it means. When we read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John in the Bible, what we see there is that Jesus actually shows a marked preference for people like this man. People, as we were praying for, people on the outside, people who are marginalised, people who the rest of the world have given up on. But crucially, people who know that they need him. And it's the people who look down on everybody, people who look down on certain members of society, people who already think they're pure, who already think they're good enough, who end up getting criticised by Jesus. And there's another dimension to this story too. Because the reality is that if we truly want to follow Jesus, if we truly want to learn from him and live like him, then we also need to be reaching out our hand to touch people. I'm not advocating breaking social distancing guidelines here. Touch is physical touch, but it's more than that. It's touching people with our lives, isn't it? And I think this story asks us a challenging question, which is this. Who are our lepers? Who are the people in our society who are on the margins, on the edges? Who are the people who are looked down on and seen as unclean? Who are the people we avoid because we fear perhaps that their sinful lifestyle might infect us, might contaminate us? What if we were to reach out a hand to touch, to offer dignity, friendship, to offer an invitation to meet with our friend Jesus? You know, Jesus was criticised for eating with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. I wonder what kind of people we have at our dinner parties. It's very easy to stick to our own kind. So this story calls us. It calls us in two ways. It calls us to be like the leper who comes on his knees before Jesus and begs him to make him clean. It calls us to ask Jesus for his healing, his transformation, and his touch in our lives. It calls us to be like that leper. But this story also calls us to be like Jesus, reaching out a hand to touch, inviting people into Jesus' presence, the holy and healing presence of our life-giving God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord God, you're calling us to be like that man with leprosy who knew his need of you so much that he fell on his knees and begged to be made clean. And Lord, we come before you today knowing that we need to be made clean. We know that we can't be good by ourselves. We know that we are sinners. So Lord, we ask you for your healing touch today, for your life-giving touch, for your transforming touch on our lives and our hearts. But Lord, we hear that call too, to be like you, to reach out and touch people who are on the edges, people who have given up or who the rest of society has given up on. So Lord, help us to reach out to those people. Help us to be like you. Help us to invite them into your presence. We ask that you would give us strength and courage to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.